The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
So we're still powerful sexuality, powerful marriages, powerful families. All right? We know that we're talking about God loves sex, and we know the scripture we started with. And you know that we're talking about Songs of Solomon, seven at play, healthy love, sex, romantic relationship, from attraction to marriage. We have done acts of the act of attraction, the dating scenario, the courtship, the wedding, and the honeymoon. We have done the conflict, judgment about two things to tie up the conflict, and then we go to keeping romance in marriage and keeping fidelity in marriage. May I say that what we are discussing is not my own private opinion. So it's not my own. So you can't say everybody have their own, that this is not my own. This is the position of my government on this matter. So we went to the conflict, how to resolve conflict in marriage. I just want to refresh your mind that you don't return evil for evil. Respond to evil with good. The man didn't return evil for evil. Don't try to chasten your mate. Respond with love and kindness. And we said last week that you can make a good mate. You might make a good mate, but you don't make a good deity. So don't take the position of God and punish your mate for what she didn't do well. We told you to focus on resolution. These are seven things to do to resolve conflict in marriage. Focus on resolution. Seek forgiveness and solution. Let's focus on how do we resolve what happened. Instead of rehearsing, you did this, you did that, and then we go to what happened in 1926 and what happened on our wedding day. All that will cause problems. And then we talked about communication, where we say communication is 7% word and meaning, 55% body talk, body language, 38% tone of voice. And then from there we went to, we must forgive each other. We must go back and reemphasize our love. I will show you the scriptures, how he did it, how he went about it, how he reemphasized his love for his wife. And then reconciliation. Don't hold an account for wrong suffered. Restore one's mate to a place of honor. I was saying earlier that sometimes you see in marriages that the two people are having challenges. And then I will remember, I got married on 27th of October. 2001. Then we now have a challenge. I will now remember that, in fact, from the beginning, your father didn't even want you to marry me. You married me because you were pretending. Now I'm talking about, you now add, you read the person's mind, read what is not there. Let's forget all the wrongs you suffered. Let's stay on how to get this thing. Let's restore our mate. I'm going to show you how he did it. And then the end of the conflict should bring us back to God. Look at the scriptures. There are 60 queens, is the man that is talking, and 80 concubines, and maidens without number. This man is saying, the kind of life I have lived, I have so many women. But he says, when it has to do with me and you, you are the best. We can't put you in a number. You're a class of your own. So he's restoring this woman to where they were when the relationship started. But my dove, my perfect one, you see, is unique. From this woman's behavior, she didn't show perfection. But this man is focusing on reconciliation, focusing on how do we restore you back and not take account of the wrongs that have suffered in your hands. She is her mother's only daughter. He's praising her. She's the pure child of the one who bore her. The maidens saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines also, and they praised her, saying, what this man is saying at this particular point in time is, because he didn't put this woman down, even the other women, I'm not saying you should go into polygamy, even the other women at home still held this lady in high esteem. You know, sometimes something happens in your home. You narrate to your sister, you narrate to your mother, you narrate to your grandmother, you narrate to everybody in your family. The only challenge is that when two of you reconcile and you forgive your wife or your spouse, it will not, they won't know. They won't know. If you go and report to them, that look at what this woman did to you, they will begin to hold quarrel on your behalf. and feel that you are punishing their son or their daughter and treating the person very badly, when two of you, because of the love both of you share, you now say, we are no longer quarreling, how do you now get the lineup of quarrel you have started? Your sister who has told her friend, and her friend have told the other friend, and whenever, how do you reconcile all of that? This man, though he had challenges with the wife, kept it in such a way that I can still restore this woman, and they won't look at her and see her less. They won't dishonor her. They will still see her with absolute respect. These are some of the things we must avoid, because the queen see you and they are praising you. Who is this that grows like a dawn, as beautiful as the full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners? What we are still saying is, when quarrel has come and we have had challenges, when we reconcile, it's called reconcile. Reconcile means let's return back to where we were originally. I love this place. I went down to the orchard of North Trees, where we are in Solomon chapter 6. Before I was aware, my soul set me over the chariots of my noble people. In their culture, once the king takes you and puts you on his chariot, that's the highest level of elevation that can happen. Most times, when couples have problems in marriages, it becomes almost impossible to restore them back to where you were going to seek that woman's hand, all the love and all the friendship that both of you have shared. This man didn't behave like that. He returned this woman back to where they were originally. Your love shouldn't go sour. Come back. Come back, oh Shunammite. Shunammite is the female name for Solomon. Come back, that we may gaze at you. Why should you gaze at the Shunammite as at the dance of the two companies? Dance of the two companies in their culture is a dance of total reconciliation. That's the same thing that God does for us. When he reconciles with you, he restores you back as if you never sinned, and he doesn't hold account of your sins and begin to say, that was how this happened the other time. That was how this happened the other time. That was how this happened the other time. One of the things that makes those of us, if you're a marriage therapist, a counselor, a pastor who is interested in marriages and family, you notice that when you are trying to reconcile people, and this one has black books, and this one has black books, you can be in that place for 7 days. You know, my husband had told you, our first Christmas together, a couple started a quarrel inside church, fought inside church as per fought with words, and I happen to be the one to, don't beat your wife. We just finished now. We just to receive blessing of that. Let's not carry quarrel. I followed them from church to the house, thinking that in about 30 minutes, since they just got married 3 months ago, I will reconcile, I will end it. I started by 3 a.m. and ended by 7 p.m. As I speak to you, that marriage is no more. You know why? Each of them had black books. So when I was about to say, let me reconcile this, say the way he spoke to me that day, I didn't like it. I said, my dear, okay, let's talk about it. I said, no, mama, wait. You are talking about the way I spoke to you. Should we talk? Let's not go there. Can I not remind you on our wedding day when I was coming? I came late. You were even shouting on me. Why did I come late? Even my friends were, okay, oh, you are even talking about our wedding. Let me not remind you what happened on our tower when they were coming to take list. We were on this. I now looked at them and said, you people are good archaeologists too. You know how to keep good record on. They say, mama, this matter, we can't finish it today. Go and rest and go and say, tomorrow I will dig out the things. I've not even started. Headache. Hunger. I was hungry. You know, we are judging matter. I couldn't say, please, which one should bring? The people, because you judge matter, you stand up. You were with me now. We stand up and say, hold up. Sometimes, hold up. Was it that time I'd be saying they should give me food? Two of them didn't eat. We that went to request. As I stood up that day, I went to my husband, didn't beat me. So when two of you stand in front of me, I'll say, first, please, what is the goal of this conversation? Because I have suffered. And that time I was having ulcer. Ulcer pain was holding me. If I want to say, my dear, quickly give me. He said, no, let me remind you, mama. If you keep holding accounts of wrong, listen, two of you are not perfect people. You will hurt each other. So throw away the last quarrel. Always start every day with a new book. Okay. Keeping romance in marriage. How do we keep romance in our marriages? Let me just give you some few tips and then we're going to read what he did. Be tender with your wife. Work on your communication. I just have some few tips. Share your heart with your wife. Don't be passive. Two of you must share your hearts. Don't be afraid to share what is in your heart. You know, sometimes, those of us who are married, sometimes it's your job that gets the best part of you. By the time you come home, you are completely drained. Everything is taken out. You look like this container without water inside it. As you just come, you just drop on top of the chair. Before you know it, the best part of you have been taken from the job. And that's why we're also praying that God will begin to help us to come into our destiny in those areas. Because some of us, the reason why you pick the job you picked is fear of the future. That's not my area of discussion. Pastor Ben will handle that. Your wife, your family is supposed to get the best of you. Stop telling your wife. When was the last time you told your wife, I love you? Don't ever stop telling your wife, I love you. Even if you said it yesterday. Say it again. Let it become so normal. There are some of us, you can do everything, but to say I love you is a problem. And there are some of us, sorry, the word sorry is what you can say. You can't say it. You can go to healthy bar and buy something and give. But to now say, I'm sorry. Something tells you that if I say I'm sorry, it means I'm weak. If I say I'm sorry, you buy the most expensive shoe. You see, unfortunately, the person you married, her love language is not gift. You are doing all the right things, but the wrong way. L-O-V-E won't cost you anything. To buy the most expensive shoe will cost you time and cost you money that you're using for the budget. Tell your wife, I love you. If your wife is sitting beside you, tell her I love you. If it's not your wife, it's your family member in church. Just say, still, I love you. I love you doesn't hurt. You know, some of us don't just work on the sex. Work on the tenderness. Your wife is tender. You know, this is Solomon that is leading this discussion. Most times, you find out also that in the marriages, in a bid to keep the duties of marriage, we have lost the romance. Because you didn't just marry for utility reasons. You didn't just marry for someone who will wash your clothes and then make your meals and all of that. Even these days, we have washing machines. There are some homes that the wife is not washing anything. It's washing machine that is washing. Even when she wants to wash, the husband will refuse. Say, why do we have washing machine? And for some of us that God just delivered from village mentality, you can have washing machine for 2 years you haven't used. The day you now go and open it, rat has eaten half of it. So it's not just for utility reasons. Woman, you didn't marry a carpenter. Someone will be helping you do your plumbing work at home. And when something is helping you put nail, no. It's much more than that. There is a place of companionship. Don't lose the friendship in the marriage. Am I talking to you? Look at your neighbor, say they are talking to you. I'm just giving you tips. Don't say this is my own. It's not my own. We must keep our marriage alive. And for us to keep our marriage alive, there are small, small things. I'm going to talk about being creative, being spontaneous, being aggressive as we go on. But let's see what this man did. Husband compliments his wife. He provides her with romance. Men, if you don't want your check to bounce, you must know how to play the game of romance. Now, when I say romance, don't think about Hollywood, Bollywood. Don't think about any wood. Allow me to use my own English. I'm going to use poetic license to talk this one. Romance is privatized. I mean, by that I mean is, what I mean, number, there are, There are some people, their own romance is different from other people's romance. Some people is flower. You buy them flower. You put up the light. You do candlelight. You just put candle on top. Everywhere is off. That's their language of romance. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The man, before you come, the man wears the apron, goes into the kitchen, bring the breakfast and bring it in bed. For some people, that is romance. For some people, that is not romance. In our time, do you understand what I'm saying? I remember when someone was dating me, and then it was the 14th of February that time. Then he was coming back from Lagos and bought me something. And was rushing to come and give it to me. And then held it. And then brings it out. Don't want to see the God is good. I said, I know that God is good now. I said, you mean you went to Lagos? You came back. Is this God is good? He told me, since you're a pastor, I take my mouth all under there. Am I talking to someone? It's different. No, my husband knows that I'm doing birthday. You buy me card. For what? For someone, the person will appreciate the card very well. Oh. You buy me card and write so many things. I say, how much did you buy this card? He said, why you don't convert the money of the card and just give me? You understand what I'm talking about? For some people, they don't like surprises. You surprise them, they're angry. Because the thing you're using to surprise them, what they don't want. You must find the language of romance for your spouse. And love has five languages. So for us, some of us may have been married and not know the love language of the person you're married. Because there is not deep talk that's going on. So let's see how this man provided romance. How beautiful are your feet? You see, if you go before this chapter, he started from the head down to the neck. Now he's now going from the feet. He's describing this woman's feet. How beautiful are your feet in sandals? This guy is too much with words. Yeah. Imagine describing a woman's feet inside sandals. Oh, prince daughter. Now this woman is not a princess. Not what elevates her to a princess. The curves of your hips have left the leg, has come to the hips, are like jewels. The work of the hands of an artist. Oh, Malicha. In other words, your hips is like the work of an artist. Your navel, he now has left the lips and gone to the navel. It's like a round goblet which never lacks mixed wine. Now, what he's thinking about and talking about is, if you are lying down and we're in romance, I can put a little bit of oil in your navel and then lick it with my lips. But why are you looking at me like that? I was going to give you to come and finish the preaching. Your belly is like a heap of wheat fenced about with lilies. I won't interpret that. Your breasts, your two breasts are like two fans. Of course, I told you. Remember, this came at the honeymoon. He has restored this woman back. So these are the words of the honeymoon. I told you last week that two fans are two small deers. They're soft and tender to touch. This man is saying, I just feel like touching your breast. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. Your eyes like the pools in Heshbon. He's good with words. By the gate of Bath Rimmon, your nose is like the tower of Lebanon. Lebanon is a mountain that towers higher than all the mountains, which faces Damascus. Your head crowns you like camel, and the flowing locks of your head are like purple threads. The king is captivated by your dresses. How beautiful and how delightful you are, my love, with all your charms. Now, this man is going somewhere. But before he gets there, he will use his mouth and do all the romance. It looks as this woman's love language is words of affirmation. So he's using words. He's using words strongly. Let's see whether this woman will chase him away. He's still talking. Your statue is like a palm tree. Watch how he will use this palm tree metaphor. And your breasts are like its clusters. You know, he was talking about her body. I said, I will climb the palm tree. I will take hold of its fruit stalks. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the fragrance of your breath like apples. It's not talking about fragrance of the mouth. It's talking about the fragrance of her vagina. And your mouth, like the best wine, it's talking about the kisses. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, going down. Flowing through the lips of those who fall asleep. The woman is about to respond. Let's see what her response is. The woman responds to man and satisfies him, provides him with sex. So if you provide romance, if you provide the fire, she will provide the sacrifice. Provide romance. You mustn't provide the fire, she will provide the sacrifice. Find her love language. And see, some of the games we play with young girls, come and play it at home. Play it at home. Let's find out how this woman responded to this man's talk. I am my beloved, and his desire is for me. She's secured. Come, my beloved, let us go out into the country. Let us spend the night in the villages. She's talking about, let's go where nobody will disturb this thing we want to do. Let us rise early and go to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine has budded. She's talking about their relationship. In other words, the conflict did not destroy the relationship. Remember, they have seen this, their relationship, as a garden consistently. So the conflict we have did not destroy our vine. It's still budded. And its blossoms have opened. In other words, you have been talking to me. You have been talking to me. All the talk you have been doing, look at what he's doing to me. Are you ready, friends? And whether the pomegranates have bloomed, there I will give you my love. The mandrakes have given forth fragrance. If you remember, Leah and Rachel were quarreling over mandrakes because one of them was going to sleep with the husband and said, okay, I will bribe you with mandrakes. The root of mandrakes is actually shaped like the size of the body of a man. The mandrakes have given forth fragrance. You know what it means? I just explained it to you now. Okay, the mandrakes is shaped like the body of a man. And he says, the mandrakes have given forth fragrance. In other words, you are standing. The fragrance. I should go deeper. Okay, now, it's not even me that's going to go deeper now. It's the woman that's going to go deeper. Everybody, let's read the Bible. And over our doors are all choice fruits, both new and old. Those are going to be very creative. Which I have saved up for you, my beloved, to do things to you that you can't imagine. It's not Solomon that says, it's the woman that is talking. Solomon have talked and talked and talked and talked. This woman is ready. The mandrakes, in other words, your manhood is standing. All the fruits, everything in my body is standing. It's speaking about the sexuality of the wedding. So I'm going to do things to you, old and new. In other words, I'm going to be very creative with what is going to be happening here. It's not going to be the missionary style. We're still in church. I'm reading the Bible. One of my sons told me last week, he said, Mom, are you sure we're still in church? All right. So let's find out. In our marriages, as we begin to round off, we must find a way to do old and new things. We must be creative. At the same time, aggressive and spontaneous. So let's see how some points, some things we can do. We need to learn to get into each other's heart. Communicate your love in a creative way. You know, in our home, we have this kind of thing. In other words, we have dining and then we have this. Have you noticed that in most homes, this is the less used furniture? It's for decoration. Basically, because in your family of origin, when you are eating, you collect the food, you enter inside the room. That's how you were trained. Now you are living with this person who likes the touch. See, let's not fake things. Just be who you are, and then you can begin to train out of it. Some of us in Abba, it is you take the food, you enter inside your mother's room to go and eat. I have eaten like that. The sitting room is only when visitors come, they open it. And then where I left, where I stayed, you take room in Asinge, you go into the room. The sitting room is completely locked. Now I marry. And I marry someone that likes swag. And I say, my wife, let us go and eat at the dining table. I've been looking at him. Are you planning to kill me? Is it that you have poison you want to put in the food for me to come and eat? Because if I hold my own, you understand that? It took us, this is the 18th year now. It took us almost 17 years to begin to use this table. And then my husband is not creative with food at all. 17 years, only two kinds of, only two. Oh, one. Banga. My father will eat any other, any, oba, ogri, anything, ofoha. Once he's not drawing, he's not, no, he's, no, you can't, there's no way you can tempt him. And then in Aba, we eat for volume. You understand what I'm talking about? If you like, say I'm a village girl. I'm a village girl that God took through some things. In our house, my husband eats for creativity. He doesn't care how the taste of the food is. The food, the plate you use to serve the food, there must be plate must have. There must be, you know, as you wear cloth, you say is to match. The plate must be to match. Say, my wife, I won't eat this food. He said, it's not fine. He said, you taste them. I said, no, the way the moi stayed at the plate, he didn't stay in the middle, he stayed by the side. Presentation. And I be saying, we can't say, oh, we're going to a Thai restaurant. And then I'm thinking about all the adventures I will do with food. Say, let's be sure of what we are eating. He zeroes it down to what he has. For me, I would take, oh, I don't like, I'll try another one. You say, mistake, we're doing healthy food. Say, this one is bitter. No. He said, why must food be bitter? It mustn't be bitter. It must be sweet. Why must drink be bitter? So you say, we're doing healthy food. You miss beetroot. Mixed it with, and then you bring. What do you mean this? I say, it's healthy drink. Say, my wife, no, I don't. It's just give me the one I know. So, some of us, like Pastor Brian, we need to be a bit creative in those other places. He's very creative with Nigers. Nigers must match. Very creative with, I don't know how he does it. I've said it here, everybody. I can come, everything is on the bed. I push it like this and just, I can fall asleep anywhere. No, he doesn't fall asleep. The sleep is prepared for. He doesn't mistake it. He will put up the light properly. No, my head can fall. I'll get up and then continue the sleep somewhere else. No. God is so faithful. He doesn't put two same people. If we are the same, we don't fight. We are two different people. You know, many of us think that he doesn't talk. He talks. If you know he talks, let's talk about how Nigeria should be better. Me, I like to talk about everything. Everything, I like to talk. By him? So when you're talking, so when they say, your husband doesn't talk. Your husband is very quiet. You don't say, yes, it's true. It's true. And then, for me, he talks when he knows you. And then when you're talking about things he's passionate about. For someone like me, I think it was Pastor Matthew that told Papa Chidime, say, Reverend Ben's wife, very quiet. Papa Chidime say, yes, very, very quiet. Because I know that once they start talking, I will soon sleep off. So I won't talk at all. So in case I sleep off, you would not have slept off. So we are two different people. Now, many of us are very responsible people, but very lousy lovers. Very lousy lovers. We must find a way to bring creativity into our relationship. It matters. Let's take our relationship deeper. Someone told me to go deeper this morning. Don't just give informations and feeling and cliches. Just get to talk. Some of us are living together. You're two strangers. You use the same room, use the same bathroom, use the same soap. but you are two strangers. Three things would have happened. Either one of you succeeded in eliminating the other person from the relationship, you dominated the person. Or this person came to a place where you frustrated the person out of a relationship, or the person is in that house but he had died. We mustn't be strangers. And what will make us not to be strangers is that we must learn to talk. We must keep talking. Be close, not just close by your wife, be close to your wife. Talk. Put down the WhatsApp. Talk. Put down. We need to switch off the television when we are eating. And in our school, in our marriage school, there's one of the things they said to us while I was doing marriage therapy. Couples must eat at least four times. The family must eat together at least four times a week. It helps to keep these people together. Woman, I hope you know that you were created for your husband's glory. Your husband was created for the glory of God. If that is what it is, we must ensure that this glory is seen. Your wife, take your wife out. Papa Chidime said the other day, and then all the women in church went and bought that meat. He said, if you get angry with your wife, buy her a car. And the women were shouting, yay, yay, take your wife out. It mustn't be to Protea. Take her to your Gwaliwo. Take her to Ebere's kitchen. If you can't take her, when we say let's go for vacation, it mustn't be Dubai. It's according to what you can afford. If it is Ugrimba, no holiday you can afford, you go there. Before you start going to Dubai, do like Pastor Ben, use mouth and paint pictures. Paint beautiful pictures. In fact, this one I was asking myself, what did even Pastor Ben do, Steph? What did he say to drive away my British Airways person that came to look for me? Use mouth. If there is no money in the pocket, there must be talk in the mouth. Don't burn the people who say if you don't get money, hide your face. Now lie they talk. Don't hide your face. Pull out your mouth. Begin to talk. This woman said, I will do to you what you have never imagined. He said, you? He said, I will take you. He said, my wife, don't worry. I will take you around the world. When he was saying, I will take you this around the world. It was this Volvo that only old men. One day I was in this his car. And it was only old men. Once he entered this street, I was on it. You hear, I asked myself, young man, you went to buy motor. You buy this one. Are we still together? If you ask yourself questions, you discover there are so many things about your wife that you still don't know. So many. There are so many aspects of her. You must spend time to talk, to discover each other. Shut down the social media, shut down the television, shut down the TV when you are eating so that you can talk. All right? If we're going to have quality discussion, we must talk. We must be spontaneous and disciplined. You see, when you are single and you're clapping your hand, if you're clapping your hand as a single person, it's different from when you're clapping your hand as a married person. Do you know you can be very controlling and not flexible and you will not know? That's why I say you need to be spontaneous. Some of us take it out of context when the Bible says, wives, submit to your husband. Forgetting that originally that place said submitting yourselves one to another. There is a place of situational leadership. There comes a time that her idea is stronger. We may need to defer to that idea and your idea. It's not a fight. You don't have your worship. You in your house, you're not, there is no court where there's an accuser and then the person who is, don't sentence anybody to court. It is not who is right, it's what is right. The best relationship advice I can give is manage your own part of relationship. Let her manage her own part of relationship. If you manage your part and she manages her own part, we're going to have relationship that is heaven on earth. Don't see yourself as a problem. Don't see your wife as a problem. Stop looking for someone that will help you fix your wife. Both of you must tell yourselves that our relationship is more important than our self-interest. This marriage is more important than our self-interest. Do you know sometimes when there is too much logic, you lose your wife? Because she doesn't even understand what you're talking about. Let's close. How do we keep fidelity in marriage? This is an aspect. The loneliest place to be is to be in the same house with someone and the person is not talking to you. Because you made a mistake. Maybe you spoke in a way you shouldn't speak. Or you talk to the person in a way, the person, that's the loneliest place to be. You don't punish your spouses. When it has to do with marriage, listen, friends, if you treat your spouse badly, God will not answer your prayers in the Bible. It said, treat her with understanding, not knowledge. Understanding. Understanding simply means that you have to apply the things you have learned from everywhere you're coming to be able to manage. The person in front of you is so different from you. Absolutely different. I remember when they used to use logic to explain something to me. I'm sure if my husband used another style, I would have understood when he was going to leave the bank. When he said that he was dreaming to leave the bank, my head flew to poverty. I said, the poverty that was in my father's house is about to catch me here now. I refuse it in Jesus' name. And I put away. Don't use logic. Find the best way to talk to this person you're married to. So fidelity. As a married therapist, this is a serious challenge. We're on chapter 8 now. Oh, that you were like a brother to me who nursed at my mother's breast. If I found you outdoors, I would kiss you. No one would despise me either. In their culture, sir, it is profanity for you and your wife to be kind of being in a romantic position at outside. But for your brother, you can kiss your brother outside, not your husband. That's why this woman is saying this, that I will lead you and bring you into the house of my mother. So, oh, that you were my brother. That's why she said that. Who used to instruct me, I will give you spiced wine to drink from the juice of, course, you know what she's talking about now. I will give you spiced wine to drink out of. Remember, now you know what she's talking about. Let his left hand be under my head. Let the right hand embrace me. That's why she said, I will give you juice. I will give you spiced wine to drink from the juice of my pomegranate. So he says, let his left hand be under my head. And let his right hand embrace. That's a sex position. I want you to swear, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not arouse love. So this guy is teasing her now. You don't start. I go soon charge. So, what should we take away? If we're going to keep fidelity in our marriages, provincial relationship. This man said, your mother was in labor with me. Who is this? Beneath the apple tree, I awakened you. The woman is under the apple tree. It's a sexual position that is describing how the woman came into this world. What this man is saying in one sentence is that you were born for me. You were created for me. In other words, I'm not going to do this with any other person because we are born for each other. Heaven created us together. Possessive relationship. I want you and none other. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as hell. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. For those of us who go into infidelity, this is what is happening. The rage in the other person will be like the raging fire in hell. There's nothing as painful as discovering that the person who you took marriage vow with, mutually exclusive, nobody but you, there's nothing as painful as to discover that it's not only two of you that are in this relationship. There's nothing as bitter as knowing that your spouse has been having an affair with your best friend. It's very painful. That's what jealousy is, as severe. Is that brutal? Is that painful? And friends, what you know you wouldn't want anybody to do to you, don't do to anyone. Don't do to anyone. What you will know you don't like them to do to your sister, don't do to anyone. The very flame. So jealousy is like the very flame of the Lord. That's why we need to keep fidelity in the relationship. And one of the things you do, if you're noticing that your heart is warming towards someone else, discuss it with your wife. Which also means that you must have been training your wife before this time. Some of the things I learned from my husband, he says, when you marry that woman is 1 day old. My marriage is 17, 18 years old. In his mind, I'm 18 years. The woman comes into your house with every training that her father gave her, that the former boyfriend that was with her gave her, that her brothers gave her, into your home. You have to patiently train. Your wife is not the dyer that you take cane. Take cane. There are some men that use cane to flog their wife into. Come on. Let's move on. Permanent relationship, never breaking the covenant. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of this world, okay, I'll stop with many waters can quench love. What we have for each other is permanent. I'm not looking for someone to get. I'm not giving you away. It's permanent. And then the second part is we will persevere in this relationship. We're not going to give up on each other. He said, if a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Ladies and gentlemen, precious relationship. So for your marriage, for you to keep it out of infidelity, we have a little sister, that's the brother's talking, and she has no breast. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? If you are a woman, a day will come that someone will require your hand in marriage. What will the community that you are a part of speak about you? There are some of our sisters that marry secretly. The danger of marrying secretly is that any day that someone needs to speak into that relationship, it will be very, very difficult. If you marry someone that when you were marrying the person, you didn't see him submitted under any government, you have just married a god. And when the time comes for the government to speak over the person's life, that's about talking about seven pillars of healthy relationship, one of the messages we have here, it will be difficult. Your husband must have someone he listens to. If he listens to the boys, what I mean, the boys at the club, the Psalm 2 boys or Psalm 1 boys, if he listens to the boys, that will be giving him negative advice of people that go to hell. Say, your wife told you like that. If you reach home, boss your head with butt. You know, say, be worried, boy. They mad, they crazy. Nonsense, girl. You know, say you be mad. The person will be giving you advice that this person who is talking to you at home is afraid of his wife. And some of them have never married before, have never gone to anybody to ask for bride price, and they give you list. You can look for, sometimes you go to marry, they tell you to lie down. All the people say lie down to greet the girl's family. That's the person that is giving you advice. You must marry within the family. Let the family know who you are going to marry, so that even if there must be one person who can say, come, this behavior is not good. And he says, if she is a wall, we will build on her a battlement of silver. You know what that means? But if she is a door, we will barricade her with planks of cedar. There's a difference between a wall. In other words, if she was a loose girl, a woman around town, a door means anybody can pass. So women, before you get married, make sure you are not a door. Because if you're a door, and you bring that, I don't have time to start talking about how your family of origin affects the family you're going to marry into. Some of the also challenges where you have infidelity is that some of us have been addicted to pornography, and you're trying to get that same excitement, ecstasy into your marriage. There's no way a human being will be able to do that. Those things you watch there. There's a website you need to visit. Fight the new drug, porn. In fact, there's a dirty list of companies that support porn. You can go and find them. They're all in the internet. Twitter is part of them. United Airlines is part of them. All of that. You can go and find it by yourself. Some of them have stopped. In fact, Google recently said, we will not allow porn adverts. We won't use GOG ad for porn. Some of them have stopped them. Some of them you're watching their airlines and all of that. You can go and check those by yourself. So make sure you are a wall, not a door. A door, anybody can just pass and come. Listen, don't allow that to happen to you. The only person that should climb this palm tree and taste the Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He entrusted the vineyard to caretakers. Each one was to bring 1,000 shekels of silver for each fruit. Now he's talking about how he met Solomon. The brothers were working in Solomon's vineyard. And Solomon handed over the vineyard to the brothers to take care of. And all of them were laboring in the vineyard. He said, my own vineyard, he's talking about her body, is at my disposal. Those of you, men, women, your vineyard is at your disposal. If you're married, it's not at the disposal. Your body is no more your own. It belongs to the person you're married to. The 1,000 shekels are for you, Solomon. The bride price. So they say, where is the bride price in the Bible? And the 200 are for those who take care of his fruit. Notice that when you're coming to marry, you don't just pay bride price. You carry enta, you carry imo. But the point is that some of us who are from the east, they think Pastor Ben had to use one boss of only him and his father, filled with all kinds of, they say village list. They say, elders list, the umuada list. Before they even start, they say we won't talk. You should bring money of opening mouth. Ego mepono. So when they finished, my mother-in-law said, what about money to close mouth? You know that people should leave your mouth open. We have paid for the thing we came for. Oh, you who sit in the gardens, my companions are listening for your voice. Let me hear it. Hurry, my beloved, and be like a gazelle and a young stag on the mountain of bittern. A gazelle and a young stag, two animals in heat on the mountain of bittern. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.